Irvine, Washington, Wednesday, June 24th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, a private sector approach to solving illegal immigration. Colorado businesswoman Helen Kriebel will join us in studio to discuss her red card solution. How would it improve border security, make sure all workers in this country are here legally, and also stop the drain on America's healthcare and education systems by illegals? We'll discuss those questions and more. Also in this edition, government-run healthcare is great until you get sick. We'll speak with Canadian citizen Shona Holmes, who suffered a brain tumor and would have died if she had not had access to the rapid American healthcare system. Is she a compelling argument against implementing a Canadian-style system in this country? Plus, who's the real conservative? We'll speak with Florida Republican Senate candidate Marco Rubio and ask him why he should be the choice of Republican voters next year. And another Republican philanderer, this time it's South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, who went all the way to Argentina to cheat on his wife. Have Republicans lost the moral high ground? We'll ask longtime Republican consultant David Johnson. That plus the news is straight ahead. We start with immigration right now. My first guest in this edition is Helen Kriebel, head of the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation, author of Two Paths to Safety, a private sector initiative to break the illegal immigration deadlock. And she's also the architect of a new immigration reform strategy known as the Red Card Solution. It's a private sector approach to the problem. And Helen, it's great to be with you again.
Thank you so much.
This, as I mentioned, is a private sector initiative. And what you do basically is arrange for folks trying to get to the United States from other countries, Mexico and others, to have their employment lined up before they ever even try to get here. Explain how that would work.
We're suggesting that in order that, first of all, we all know that you need to have a secure situation when somebody comes into the U.S. to work. So we are suggesting that the private sector, which is employment agencies licensed by the federal government outside our borders, create a database of the jobs that are available in the United States, and that workers, foreign workers who would like to fill those jobs, put their resumes on. They make the match, and of course, employment agencies, that's what they do. They're the greatest experts at matching jobs and people together. They are photographed if a job is taken, only if a job is taken, because it's job-specific. Then the person is photographed, fingerprints. Those go to the national database, for a criminal database, to find out if they've ever committed a crime in the United States. If they pass that, then the information comes back, and it gets encoded in a chip on a smart card where there's nothing to see on the smart card, but it's absolutely secure. That takes 48 hours. And then they can go to their job. The employer runs that smart card. Person puts his fingertip on the plate. The fingertip is the print is matched with the prints that are in the car. Absolute guarantee that that person who shows up for your job is the person who went through the security check. It's a quick, easy way to get them there. And it, the nice thing about it is that we say no citizenship in this. Citizenship is the federal government's business. It's very serious business. Anybody should be able to apply anywhere around the world, whether you're a guest worker or not. Everybody should be able to apply. But once you take that out of the mix, it's about work. It's about a permit to work in the United States. So it becomes a much easier thing. It can be outsourced to the private sector, and that's what we're suggesting.
And another aspect of this that I think a lot of our listeners will probably like is the fact that since we know they're in the country and all this employment would be on the up and up, they are now taxpayers. And instead of being a drain on our system, healthcare, education, and so forth, they would actually be contributors towards it, correct?
Absolutely. And so many of these jobs are seasonal, that they're young, strong men, essentially, without their families. So, you know, they probably aren't any drain on the social services. But we also know that there are gaps in our employment world in the United States, PhD high-tech people. We need 100,000 of them that aren't being turned out by our universities. So, you know, it's the whole spectrum of people. But it's the idea of having a secure process for matching those people. And then secondly, getting rid of quotas. Because quotas are the artificial limits that are set by a bureaucrat in Washington who has no idea. In Colorado, where I happen to live, My guess is we need 100,000 to 150,000 H-2B visas. There's 67,000 for the whole United States.
Yeah.
So there's a little problem. And people in Mexico, for example, no jobs are going begging. We need the labor as employers. I mean, how do you think that works?
We're talking with Helen Kriebel, head of the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation. She's the architect of the Red Card Solution. Let's get to a couple of potential objections that some might raise, and I'm sure you've heard these before. Okay, these folks get in the country, their temporary work visa runs out. What makes them go back home?
If the job is gone or the visa runs out, the employer cancels it if they move from the job. And they, if that card is no longer valid, nobody's going to hire them. I'm an employer, and I suffer from this. I cannot tell you how much. And it's under-talked about. Hundreds of thousands of American small business people are unable to get visas for the work that needs to be done. They have two choices. Close your business or become a felon in your country because you're hiring an illegal person with a possibility of going to jail. That is a dreadful choice for a decent American person.
So the government is basically denying temporary visas because they're trying to stop the flood of illegals? Or is there another reason that they're limiting the number of temporary work visas into this country for low-tech or high-tech jobs?
I don't know the rationale for why they limit it, but the quota system is detrimental to the whole process. It's, again, let the market work. Supply and demand. If there's a demand, there's going to be a supply. The question is whether it's going to be legal or illegal. Let's make it legal.
I know a lot of people would endorse that. Now, the next problem potentially is those illegals who are already here. They're reluctant right now to check in with our government or their own government because they know they crossed the border illegally. They'd have to pay some sort of penalty, severe or mild, depending on who sets the terms. But what if they're leery to register or make themselves known to our government or their own government, why would they feel like it's okay for them to go back home and go through this process to come back?
You know, people do what's good for them. They're incentivized. Now, this program where you go outside of our borders, it could be Mexico, it could be Canada.
Sure.
You can do it in a couple days of driving from anywhere in the United States. So make an appointment with that agency. Go out, go through the process. If you know you've never committed a crime and you can prove you have a job because it's job specific, then go do that. Pay your agency fee for the work that's being done and be back in 1 week vacation. I mean, how hard is that? The point is to make it simple, secure, taking all the criminalization out. Because our current program is criminalizing probably around 20 million people. Criminalizing them when not one of them is a security risk, or almost none of them are security risks. That is not a sensible way of dealing with this. And, you know, right now when Obama is busy with his immigration meeting on Thursday, where he's having most of the people who agree with some comprehensive plan, here is a solution that is simple, that will not polarize people into these emotional extremes on the citizenship aspect of the comprehensive thing, that can be done, that makes people reasonable people say, you know, that'll work. That's easy. That will work, and it's secure, and it solves our border problem because now the good people are coming through the gate, so our agents can focus on the really bad people. So here's the time when this kind of solution, the red card solution, ought to be up in front of everybody. And we did our premiere of our documentary on this last night at the National Press Club, and it's a hot topic. So it's kind of amusing and annoying that this solution that is a good solution is not on Obama's wavelength on his screen.
I know you found support from at least some members of Congress. Is it growing? What's the reaction that you get from most members when you pitch this idea to them?
You know, it's a conservative idea because it's free market, mm-hmm. And it's private sector implementation, so it can be seen as conservative or Republican. But the fact is it's a solution, and there is intrigue on both sides of the aisle. So it could be a wonderful way of solving this polarization aspect. It is a lot of Hispanic groups think that this is a good interim step. If they don't believe that the comprehensive plan with citizenship involved is going to just sweep through, because of the heavy majorities in Congress and with the president. So that probably isn't going to fly the comprehensive. And looking at a real solution that brings people together instead of making it almost a civil war at this point is a good plan.
It's been very passionate. Just about a minute to go here real quickly. What have you heard from those business owners that kind of like having illegals working for them because they don't have to pay them as much as they would have to if they were part of the legal employment force in this country?
You know, it's sort of a red herring. It's an anti-business approach, which we really don't believe in. I do not believe that business people in large numbers want to abuse employment and workforce and pay them $3 an hour and keep them in shacks with shackles around their legs. I mean, come on. Business people want their business to work. I pay $10 an hour plus housing, air-conditioned housing, plus laundry, plus utilities, plus lunch, plus tickets back and forth across the border for my legal visa workers. That's $15 an hour, essentially. People want their work done. They want their businesses to succeed and grow. And this idea that there are millions of business people abusing immigrants is just not the case. And the people who do it, when they have access to legal workers, they're criminals. Crack down on them. But don't crack down on people as criminals if you offer no path to doing it correctly.
Helen, real quickly, we've got to run, but how can folks learn more about this issue? What website can they go to?
Go to redcardsolution.com. The video, documentary that we just aired is viewable on that, and we would just love people to come and take a good look.
Redcardsolution.com. Helen, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Helen Kriebel, author of Two Paths to Safety, a private sector initiative to break the illegal immigration deadlock, head of the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation. This is Dateline Washington.